Welcome to KRDO's Business Connection, featuring KRDO's advertisers and partners, the best of Colorado Springs businesses. Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, 92.5 FM, and streaming live at KRDO.com. And now, here is your host, Ted Robertson.
Welcome to KRDO's Business Connection. I'm your host, Ted Robertson. Joining me in studio today is the wonderful Jennifer Farnes, who is the owner of Revolution Jewelry Works. It's been too long since we talked last.
Absolutely.
we are kind of figuring between us that it's been about 8 months and a lot has changed for you in 8 months.
Yes.
Yeah, awful lot has changed in the industry for 8 months. I mean, I remember how excited I was when you were sharing with me that you do a lot of work with people who are artists and
yes.
The stuff comes from their heart and their soul. You are still displaying artist work.
Yes.
But we're going to talk about a big thing that happened in this last 8 months. After we talk about you a little bit, because it's been so long since we've been together, let's do a little bit of a refresher about who you are and what it is that draws you to this business.
Okay. I grew up digging in the dirt and looking for rocks and crystals and introduced my husband to it when we first got married. And then I was actually introduced to a gentleman who is a master faceter. And instead of hiring him to do gem cutting for me, he said, if you like rocks this much, you should learn to cut. And he took me on as an apprentice, and that was 16 years ago now. Within a couple of months of training with him, he said, there is nothing that I can teach you that you're not going to figure out on your own, and you should really think about doing this as your full-time job. And so I did. I put together a bunch of postcards. I started delivering them to jewelers all over the state, and I started getting work. And then after about 2 years, it came down to, do I continue with the job that I had at the time, which was working in marketing, or do I pursue my passion and my dream and go into stone cutting full time? And of course, I picked following my bliss. Which
you
was
should have,
so fun.
Because you can tell it feeds your soul.
Yeah. And then it just continued to grow to where the day came I needed to buy a jewelry store or open a jewelry store. And that's how Revolution came to be.
And Revolution is up on the Powers Corridor.
Yes, we're Stetson Hills and Powers, just north of the big Firestone that's been there forever. So.
Super, super easy to find. So this is what I love about you, Jennifer. You have a different business approach. So you're doing some things that are changing the expectation for team environments in your industry.
Yes.
What exactly does that mean, and how does that translate to me as a customer of yours, for example?
So ever since we established the business, we wanted it to be a place where my team members are a part of the family and they have a voice in how things are run. If you have a micromanager in any kind of business and they're not willing to take input from their employees, they're missing a lot of really great opportunities to make their business better. And sometimes it's a matter of just stepping back and slowing down and listening. And it's overwhelming, and I never wanted to be that person who just makes all of the decisions. So we established Revolution as a profit-sharing business. So I have no one that's paid on commission. So when you come in and you work with us, you're not dealing with someone who is trying to make that sale in order to get their commission. We're set up as a profit share that if the business is successful at the end of the year, then everybody gets a piece of the pie. And so our goal when people come into the studio is to make sure that they're helping that person get exactly what they're looking for within their budget. And one of the big no-nos in sales is asking for a budget. And that's one of the first things that we request. So that way we can figure out how to get you into your dream jewelry, but do it within a budget and still get you everything that you're looking for, or almost everything, or find alternatives to get you what you're looking for.
Well, you're smiling, I'm smiling, because some people think of a budget as a constraint.
Right.
You think of those budgets as guidelines or guardrails.
Yeah.
And you shoehorn as much as you possibly can within that budget so that your clients always go away very pleased.
Yes. And I really look at budgets as the opportunity to just bring something beautiful together in the way that people are desiring. So.
So there is this business of evolution of design and how mass production pieces differ from one-off customs. And you want to talk a little bit today about what to look for.
Yes. We've really seen what we're terming in the industry as two-year jewelry. So you go to a lot of these big box stores, and what they're trying to do is cut cost by cutting weight. And the way that they'll do that is you'll see a ring, and if you go from one store to the next store to the next store, you'll see the same ring over and over and over again. And it's because it's all manufactured at the same facility overseas. And when they're doing a production run of 50,000 or 100,000 pieces, by shaving off half of the weight by making the ring hollow underneath or making the prong smaller, you're saving hundreds of thousands of dollars when you look at what metal pricing is currently sitting at. And it only continues to rise. And so when you go in and you're looking at production pieces, you're going to get very limited durability out of them. And so what you might save in expense up front, you're going to end up paying in maintenance over time. And sometimes pieces can't even be restored because they're made so lightweight. And so with one-off pieces, we can't do that kind of mass production casting and hollow things out. It doesn't make sense to do that. So when we're doing our production pieces one at a time, we're building them to be solid, sturdy, and typically they weigh 2 to 3 times the weight of max production pieces. So you get a similar look, but there's definitely a little bit more heft to it because we want it to be something that will last your lifetime, but can also become an heirloom piece.
That makes perfect sense. Okay, so that's the big difference. You look for, like you say, smaller, thinner prongs.
Yes.
Holding your diamond in place. You look for a band that's hollowed out underneath.
Yes.
And that is a sign that you're dealing with something mass produced, which is not a good thing. So don't spend the money on mass produced, is what you're saying. Try to go with a one-off custom just for you. Get that look that you want in the budget that you have to work with. And now you've got something that becomes, like you said, an heirloom.
Yes. Yes. And we really do see a lot of pieces that are maybe worn. Sometimes it's only for 6 months. And it's this ultra featherweight looking piece where the diamonds look like they're almost hovering there. And it's kind of because they are. It's, you know, barely gravity that's holding them in place.
Wow.
And we really believe in just building things to last. That's how jewelry was originally. And it's just in the last 40 years that we've had this shift to production. And it doesn't make sense. It should be something that you can cherish and hold to your heart.
And this really, for a lot of reasons, for a lot of people, is an investment.
Yes, it is.
I've had a couple of custom pieces made with family in mind, with references to them that nobody else would get with, but me. And these end up being very substantial pieces I know I'm never going to have to worry about maintaining other than shining and cleaning on occasion.
Yes.
So I have taken my cues from you. I'm a smart guy now. All right. There is a challenge that the jewelry industry is facing, and it does affect we consumers. There is this influx of lab-grown diamonds versus natural, and it's affecting the industry.
It is. You know, for many years, the concern that people had was online diamond sales and what that was doing to the market. And what really happened is in 2003, De Beers lost control of the diamond market. So they were accused of collusion with the Russian government and their mining practices. And at the same time, they got into a big legal dispute with Argyle Mine, which is the only producer of natural pink diamonds in the world. And they got spread too thin. And when that happened, there was just this huge opportunity for people who had been sitting on, you know, diamond parcels for many, many years to start participating in these online sales. And that made the natural diamond market go flat. So since 2003 to now, we've seen maybe a price increase of 2 to 5% in natural diamond values, where it used to be 5% a year. Well, then De Beers announced last year at this huge trade show that they are now going to be selling lab-grown diamonds. And that just sent the industry into a tizzy because it's almost undetectable to be able to tell the difference between a lab-grown diamond and a natural diamond. And what does that mean for De Beers doing production? They're doing not only small-scale diamonds, you know, accent diamonds, but they're also going to be selling large diamonds. And so the market has just been all over the place because the few companies that are producing very nice natural or very nice lab-grown diamonds have said that they're going to increase production and start bringing more to the market. And it's just there's a lot of uncertainty because diamonds, while being a very common gemstone, were always maintained by maintaining what comes to the market. And now there's this influx of not only naturals, but also lab growns.
30 seconds left, Jennifer, and here comes the big question. I used this word earlier. You should have corrected me, and you're going to right now. There's no such thing as a jewelry investment.
Yes.
Why is that the case?
The only person who should ever give you financial advice is a financial advisor. Buy jewelry like you buy art. Buy it because you love it, and it will never do you wrong.
It will never let you down. Jennifer, I've really missed you. I hope we get to do this some more this year.
Absolutely.
And it's a privilege for KRDO to serve and support you and be a partner with you.
Thank you so much.
And that is it then for this edition of the KRDO Business Connection. I'm your host, Ted Robertson. The Business Connection is a production of KRDO News Radio, and we air Sunday mornings at 7 here on KRDO News Radio. And there's another way you can pick us up, and that's by podcast. Perfectly free, 24/7 availability. Go to KRDO.com. Select the radio tab and click on podcasts.
You've been listening to KRDO's Business Connection with Ted Robertson, featuring KRDO's advertisers and partners, the best of Colorado Springs businesses. Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, 92.5 FM, and streaming live at KRDO.com.